My name is Vera Gramling. I'm talking with Mrs. Oliver here in Warren County, right? Kentucky. Today's date is March 17, 1986. Make sure that we have our records in order. Where are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Would you please state and spell your full name? Now include your maiden name.
My middle name, if any.
Mary Oliver, M-A-R-Y-R-U-T-H, and my maiden name was Hunton, H-U-N-T-O-N, and Oliver is my
spell Oliver.
O-L-I-V-E-R.
All right, then that's Ruth.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is your husband's name?
My husband's name is Earl Brandt Oliver, and likes to be called E.B. Goes by his initials.
Would you spell his full name for me?
Yes. E-A-R-L B-R-A-N-T O-L-I-V-E-R.
Alright. Are you employed?
No.
How do you see your occupation?
Well, I do work part-time at a little fabric shop in Bowling Green. And I like that because I like the fabrics that we use in quilts and other things.
What fabric shop?
It's the fabric shop on US 31W Bypass in Bowling Green.
Okay, and tell me about your work schedule. How often do you work?
I work just when they need someone because the two owners and then one of them's family helps a lot. So when they need an extra person, they call me and I go and work those days.
Is it does this happen every week?
Not every week. Mm-hmm. Just every now and then. It makes it nice because it keeps me in touch with people and with the fabrics and new patterns and quilting. They have had quilts hanging in there that people love to come to see. Gives you ideas.
Mm-hmm. What is your husband's occupation?
My husband worked 35 years with a A&P tea company, and then he retired 3 years ago, and now he just works on the farm.
Where is there a local A&P store?
There isn't one in Kentucky now, I don't believe. I heard the other day that there are 1,000 A&P stores still in existence, but they are up in the Northeast.
Where did he work when he was active?
He worked in Bowling Green for the last 6 years of his employment, he had to go to Louisville. They had closed the store here. And then eventually they closed, not long after he retired, they closed those in Louisville.
How long have you lived at this address?
We've lived here 28 years.
And let's have your address, please.
762 Rockfield Browning Road, Rockfield, Kentucky.
Rockfield, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And that's in Warren County.
Warren County.
Where did you live before?
In Bowling Green.
Where in Bowling Green?
I lived on 300 Glen Lily Road in Bowling Green.
How long ago was that?
We've been out here 26 years.
Was that where you moved when you were married?
Yes, that was our first home.
And when were you married?
In 1948, March the 19th.
In Bowling Green?
Yes, in Bowling Green.
Where are your parents from?
My parents were from Logan County.
And do you want to give me their, would you give me their full names?
Yes. My father was John Fletcher Hunton, and my mother was Emma Reed Curtis.
Would you spell their names for me?
All right. John was J-O-H-N Fletcher, F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R, Hunton, H-U-N-T-O-N. And hers was spelled E-M-M-A, and the middle name was R-E-E. And she was a Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S.
And where did they live?
They lived in Logan County before they moved to Warren in 1926. And then they lived different places in Warren County, but all the rest of the time.
And what was your father's work?
He was a farmer.
In Logan County, all his life?
And then Warren County, too. He was a farmer.
And your mother?
My mother was a housewife.
What is your religious preference?
Methodist. We belong to the Rockfield United Methodist Church.
How old are you?
I will be 65 in June.
Then give me your birth date, please.
All right. I was born June 26, 1921.
Where?
In Logan County.
Where did you go to school?
Rockfield. I finished all 12 years at Rockfield.
In one school?
In one school.
And what was the name of it?
Rockfield High School, elementary and high school together. And it was later changed to South Warren, and then moved to Warren Central, where Warren Central is now.
Then that's an interesting piece of progress there. Then did you have additional education after high school?
Yes, after that I went to the Bowling Green Business University, and then I took what they had in the life endowment course, and that was a long course of bookkeeping and secretarial training, and also some law and salesmanship. It was just a comprehensive study. And then I went to Western just about two years.
How long were you in the business college? 1 year, 2 years?
It took a little bit, I guess, almost 2 years to finish all of that. And in fact, at that time, they had an opportunity for you to go back and review and refresh, you know. And then when Western bought out the Bowling Green University, they kept that option open for a few years, but then it was closed.
Then you went to Western, and what did you study there? The same thing?
Elementary education. I wanted to be a teacher.
What changed your mind?
Really, nothing changed my mind. It was just the fact that when my daughter, Mary Dawn, was born, and she's Down syndrome, and she took a lot of my time, and I decided then to devote my time to her. And so then I did substitute 1 year. I enjoyed it very much.
Where was that? What school?
That was at Rockfield. Mm-hmm.
In what grades?
Different grades. I did some in high school and some in elementary.
And then, did you ever work public work then?
Yes, I did. I worked in Bowling Green when we had a new business open, the Hancock's Furniture Store, and I was the first bookkeeper. Then I went to Louisville, and I worked for the American Life and Accident Insurance Company. Then I came back to Bowling Green, and when I married.
This was before you were married?
That was before I married.
How long did you stay at each one of those jobs?
At Hancock Hills, about a little over a year. Mm-hmm. But my feeling was that I wanted to be in something where I'd use more shorthand and that type, be more of a secretary than bookkeeper. But when I went to Louisville and I went to work for the insurance company, I worked there a little over 2 years.
What dates were those?
1940. I have thought about that in so long. 1943, I worked at Hancock Hills. And then, I guess it was... Then following that, I went to Louisville, but I don't remember just exact dates.
Okay,
remember. But before that, I had forgotten. Before I went to the BU, I did work at the Derby, the Union Underwear Company.
Did you?
I worked there for, not quite 2 years.
Doing what?
I was on the machine that did the seats and sides. Okay. That was the operation.
Did you gather up scraps while you worked there?
Not many. We didn't have seemed like they didn't do that. In fact, at that time, the materials that we sewed on were very starchy. And then later on, they had the better materials, the better cottons, and then the polyester cotton. Mm-hmm. But at that time, they were just cotton and very starchy.
And in the beginning, the scraps really weren't suitable for quilts.
Not really. I'm sure there were people probably laundered them and used them, but I never did.
Okay, so then you left Louisville and did what?
I came back to Bowling Green and I married, and I worked for, at the time I married, I was working for a little company. I was bookkeeping for BG Radiating Welding, and I had two wonderful bosses, but I liked it, and yet it was, it kind of got hard sometimes. But then I went to General Electric. They had a water cooler division in Bowling Green, and I worked there in accounting. And I worked there, and then until I was expecting my first child in 1940. He was born in May 1949, and I quit working. I never did work full-time. I think I worked part-time, maybe at Sears Roebuck. In fact, I worked part-time, I'd forgotten that, I worked part-time at Sears Roebuck while I was going to BU. And they were so good to me that they let me come in and work just any time I could. If I had an hour at lunchtime between classes.
Was this in the
bookkeeping
department?
No, it was in the order department, order office. They only had an order office here then. They didn't have the retail store. And that's where you met people. At that time, I just knew a lot of people in Warren County. And, of course, a lot of them I still remember from day. But then after, of course, when I finished school and went to work at the other places, I didn't work at Sears anymore.
Oh, what was it? What year were you married? What was your...
1948.
And the date?
March the 19th, 1948.
Then you have an anniversary coming up.
Yes.
In a couple of days.
Yes.
A couple of
days.
Very good. So then, after your son was born, you only worked part-time?
Part-time.
How many children do you have?
I have three.
And do you want to give me the names and dates of their birth?
Yes. Curtis Brant Oliver is my oldest son. He was born May the 31st, 1949. And then David Earl Oliver, was born in 1960. So it's 11 and a half years difference in their ages. And then in 1965, I had Mary Dawn Oliver. Was born April the 11th, 1965.
You'll soon have a birthday. Mm-hmm. Where are your sons now?
Curtis Brant works for FMHA in Mumfordville. And David is with General Motors. He's in security. And
is that in Bowling Green?
In Bowling Green. And he lives in Bowling Green.
Do they have families?
Curtis Brant has two. He has Lindy Ellen, who is 6 years old, and then he has Alan Brant, who is five.
And what is his wife's name?
Karen Buckmaster Oliver. Excuse me.
Okay, and your other son?
And David's wife is Teresa Saska. She's from St. Louis. She came in with General Motors, and they met there and married. They'll be married 2 years. And May.
They have no children?
They have no children.
All right. Tell me about when you learned to quilt.
The first quilting I ever tried was with my mother and grandmother. I tried to make a little six-par quilt, I remember, which I never finished. But at least I learned to make the stitches and to kind of had an idea of how you put the stars together and fill out the little blocks.
That seems a rather ambitious first project when you think of the points and the corners.
I think it was because I had seen them do so much of that I tried it.
How old were you?
Around 9 or 10, I think, the first time.
What was your mother's name?
My mother's name was Emma.
Yeah, you
Curtis.
Told me already.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And your grandmother, you say she was
yes,
in the home?
Uh-huh.
Did she live with you?
No. But we were always close, and we went there a lot. And she liked to make quilts, and she made hook rugs. And she could knit and do all of those things.
What were your grandparents' names?
My grandfather's name was Harry A. Curtis. And my grandmother's name was Missouri Elizabeth.
And what was her maiden name?
Johnson. She was Johnson.
Were they all from Logan County?
No. Now, I think my grandfather was from Grayson County and my grandmother was from Butler County.
And were they farmers?
Yes, uh-huh. And then my grandfather used to carry the mail. He was substitute on the mail route from Auburn in Logan County a long time.
Is that community still in existence?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
And how is it spelled?
A-U-B-U-R.
Oh, Auburn.
Auburn.
Auburn, Kentucky. Okay. I wasn't hearing that right. Well, tell me about learning to piece and make quilts. You say you were 9 when you made your first attempt.
Uh-huh.
And your mother and your grandmother taught you.
Uh-huh.
Did they use any particular technique? How did they teach you? How did you learn?
Just gave me some material to learn to sew on first, you know, just make a straight seam. And then I watched them cut their pieces, and then I wanted to try. I was always trying something, I think, that I saw my mother do. I remember one time I ran a machine needle through my thumb, which was almost would deter anybody from trying that again, but there was a lot of things like that happen when you're growing up, especially when there's a large family.
Yes, how many sisters and brothers do you have?
I had one sister and 6 brothers, and I was number 4 in the family, but I didn't try any more quilts. I might have helped my mother, but for my own quilt, I didn't make another one until after I was married.
And you didn't participate in quilting activities growing up?
No, not really. Not enough to.
Did your mother have neighbors into quilt, or did she go
sometimes
to neighbors?
Sometimes they did. I can remember doing that. And but I think my grandmother worked alone, mostly. The best I remember that she always...
Do you remember what kind of frame she had?
My mother used a pair of frames that was, or a set of frames, whichever is the correct way to put it.
I don't know.
That my step-grandmother, her name was Annis Bond Hunton, and she made those for my mother, and they were made out of yellow poplar. And she did all the sanding, and she bored holes about an inch apart through all those long frames. There was 4 frames, 2 short ones and 2 long ones. And my mother would lace the quilt through those holes, and that way you didn't have to have a covering on them, or, you know, I've seen people cover them with material and then either pin or sew into that, or sew it around the frame. But she had these holes, and they are still here. I've got them back. I think one of them is kind of warped. I don't know whether I can salvage that or not. But I could use 2 of them with the horses that people used to.
You say your step-grandmother, then
yes.
your own grandmother died?
Died when my father was 15 years old. So I never, of course, knew much about her, and I can't even find a picture of her, I'm sorry to say.
Do you have her lifespan dates, where she was born?
I'm sure that...
You do?
I do, somewhere, not available right now.
So then your step-grandmother was the one whose name you gave me?
no, was the Annis Bond. No, that other one was my mother's,
your
mother's real mother.
Your real mother.
This is my father's,
your
father's stepmother.
Okay, your father's stepmother. Okay. So, and then she made the quilt.
She made the quilt
for your mother.
Frame. Yes, she did. And I know at one time my mother used two of them, and then she gave two of them to my sister. And she kept them all those years, and then when my sister passed away, well, we picked up those frames again and brought them back home.
Was your sister older than you?
Yes, she was the oldest child.
Now, these grandmothers, one of them was your mother's mother, and she was the one that your mother quilted with?
Uh-huh, and I saw her quilt so much. Uh-huh.
And but did you have much contact with your step-grandmother in
I had
relation
a
to
lot,
quilting?
But not really in the quilting.
Okay, then she wasn't a significant other in terms of your quilting experience.
She did beautiful work, but I just wasn't there.
Do you have any of her quilts?
No, I don't.
When you were learning to quilt, you say, what was the pattern you started with, the six?
I believe it was just a six diamond, six, and then you filled it out with squares and a triangle to make the square.
What other patterns did you use in when you were learning to quilt?
I don't remember working on any until I did the one quilt that I have over here, which I did in 1956.
That marked your beginning to
yes
learn to quilt really.
Really, yes. Really. Well, I had a neighbor that lived across the Glen Lily Road from me that did beautiful work. So she got me interested, I guess, in starting back. And I know, I remember one quilt we started at the same time, and she had hers finished and quilted before I even had mine finished piecing.
Then, actually, she was the one that did most of your teaching?
Not really, but she inspired me to do
it. And what was her name?
Her name was Lady Helen Hunt. She did beautiful work. Anything she did, if she was a real good seamstress and she knitted, she could knit and do any kind of handwork, needlepoint or anything. So she was a good inspiration to me.
Oh, then what were the patterns that you started with in the 50s then?
The first one was a flower garden, not a flower garden, but sunflower.
Sunflower.
The sunflower.
Okay.
I wanted to call it. And this one is scraps, mostly of our dresses. And that's what makes it.
Our dresses. Whose dresses?
My mother's and mine.
Your mother was still living then?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. My mother had a lot of quilt pieces, and of course she always shared them with me. And then the purple, I don't know why I chose it, but I did. And this is the one that I thought I did too much quilting in the block. I was learning, though.
Let's stop just a minute. Okay. Why do you think you did too much quilting?
I think sometimes you can do enough quilting in each block that detracts from your pattern. Since this one has been laundered, though, I don't think it is as...
What kind of batting did you put in this?
This is cotton. At this time, I didn't have, we didn't have the polyester.
Well, I think so that probably that was a good move because cotton does tend to settle down when it's been... And you've washed this a lot.
Yes, this one has been washed several times. Mm-hmm. Now, I gave this one to Curtis Brandt. And this is his quilt now.
And that was the first one you made?
This is the first one I made.
Very good. So then you picked a rather, it seems to me that in both of your your early quilts, both one as a child and now this one, the sunflower, you picked rather complicated patterns to begin with, didn't you?
I guess one reason is because I saw Mrs. Hunt do such a good job that it inspired me to try. And the next one, I don't have the quilt, it was a wedding ring. And it turned out real good. In fact, I sold that. That's the only quilt that I've ever sold, and I always wished that I hadn't done it.
Who else in your family quilted?
I had several aunts. All of my mother's sisters, except one, loved to make quilts and do handwork.
How about your sister?
Yes, she did too. She had a large family, and a lot of times she didn't have time to make many quilts. But she did make quilts too.
And how many aunts was it?
My mother, there was five girls in her family, and four of them liked to do handwork. But there was one that didn't.
What were the names of those who did?
Who did? The first ones, her oldest sister next to my mother was the oldest. Mm-hmm. And then her next was Eloda, E-L-O-D-A. And she married a man by the name of Sensibaugh.
Spell that one.
S-E-N-S-A-B-A-U-G-H. Mm-hmm. She did beautiful work. And I don't have any of her quilts, but she just passed away on January the 31st of this year.
Are any of her quilts in existence that you know of? Would you have access to some of them, maybe?
I'm not sure that I would, because
she has a family.
She had a family to hand them down to. And all that I have of my mother's is the two that she made for two of my children. And I do have some of her work. But then my aunt, the youngest one that lives in California, she didn't quilt as much as she did other handwork, but she did make some quilts when she was young.
And her name?
Her name is Mary Kirby. And then my aunt Stella lives in Bowling Green. Her name is Stella Moran. And she made quilts, and she also crochets and does.
Is she still doing that?
Yes, she's still crocheting. She is 77, I believe, and she still crochets a lot.
Maybe we can touch base with her and talk to her about her quilting experiences. Mm-hmm. So then that was your mother and three of her sisters.
Yes.
Did any men quilt?
Have you ever? No, not in my family that I knew of.
And two of the three sisters are still living.
No, there's Stella and Goldie and Mary. Now, Goldie is the one that never liked to do handwork. But she was the nurse of the family. She was just a natural born good person. She came and helped me take care of my mother until she passed away. And then she took my Aunt Eloda and kept her until she passed away. Mm-hmm. So she's always been the nurse in the family.
So most of these aunts, only one of them is surviving then, is that?
No, two? Stella and Goldie and Mary. There's three.
Three,
three,
okay.
Still live. Two of them that did the handwork and one that...
And one is in California.
And one in Bowling Green and one in Rockford.
And the one in Rockfield is not the quilter.
That's right.
Okay. And what was your sister's name?
Frances. Her name was Oma Frances, and she married a Clark. So she passed away in 1975.
Okay. I think you've already answered this one, but there have been periods in your life when you're too busy to quilt?
That's right. When my children were real small, or when I was working, I didn't.
When did you take it up again?
I did this when I did the sunflower. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I would do them periodically. Now, I didn't do one right after the other. And then after I moved out here, I have done some cross stitch as well as pieced quilts.
I don't see any of those in that stack, do I?
Cross stitch?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
I have two.
Then we'll look at those when we get along.
And I have my most recent one that I just finished last week.
Oh, okay. How much time do you spend quilting at a time?
When I was working on this last one, sometimes I would quilt for 4 hours at a time, a day.
Mm.
And it was in the winter time. It was a good time to be working on a quilt, so I just would keep on.
Where do you do your quilting?
I'd use the hoops, and I do it in the den. And I can quilt when the television is on. I'm not watching television all that much, but I can hear it. When the others are enjoying their television shows, I can go ahead with my quilting.
You can be doing something creative and
still being
with the family.
That's right.
Where do you get your quilt designs?
I buy every quilt magazine I see that. I think I have a stack of them over there, as you can see. I have some quilt books, and then I get them ideas from magazines sometimes.
Are there any favorite magazines that you have?
The Quilt, that's the name of it, the Quilt magazine. I like that in the Quilter's newsletter.
Do you subscribe to those?
No, I really don't subscribe to them. I just buy them off of them. I think the Quilter's newsletter, you have to subscribe to it, and my mother took it at one time, but I don't take it now.
So the publication, The Quilt, is your favorite?
Uh-huh, that I buy off of the newsstand.
Are there any others that you buy along?
Yes, the Quilt and Sew, I believe, are ones that you can buy from the news rack, and then I have some good quilting books.
What books do you have?
I have this one is Let's Make a Patchwork Quilt.
And that's by Jesse McDonald and Marion Schaefer. Have you used this much?
Yes, I use that and refer to it. It has a lot of good instructions, even for beginners, and I think it's good to go back and...
And this is a Farm Journal craft book. That was the source of that.
Uh-huh.
Any other books that you use a lot?
I have some other quilt books. I don't believe I have them in here right now. But the Quilt magazine, the Family Circle magazine has some good, sometimes they have good stitch and sew quilts. It's another one that I buy a lot. That I think has good patterns and also ideas for other patterns.
Quilting patterns, per se, and then piecework patterns,
uh-huh.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, what kind do you particularly enjoy making? Do you have a certain quilt style, like curved pieces or blocks, or any particular pattern that you find yourself gravitating toward?
No, I have done the squares. I think a square makes, there's so many variations that you, and ways that you can use just squares that are beautiful. And then the flower garden, grandmother's flower garden, I love to sew those together because they seem like they always go together real well. And then I have done an applique quilt.
Do you like applique?
Yes, I do. I am going to take a class in that, though. I think I need some, improvement in that. I would like to have some new ideas.
Have you decided on where the class is going to be, or are you already enrolled in a class, or you just have tentative plans for taking
I have tentative plans to take one.
It might be worth looking at the reason I ask, the Kentucky Heritage has their annual celebration in Moorhead at the end of June every year.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of classes and workshops available. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you more about it later on if you would like to hear about it. But it's really a fun experience, and there's lots of opportunity to see other work and to go to workshops and classes and learn new things. And usually there is one on applique.
I would like that.
I think you would enjoy that experience. So you get most of your quilt designs then from various books. You don't do much of your own design.
No, I don't.
And the patterns you enjoy most are, you say squares, but I see a lot of other things there.
Well, I do, but I was thinking of the squares that make a beautiful quilt. And this one is one of my favorites. Now this is not, that's one of my favorites. This is my square, but this is almost a Boston Thomas. It's on the
And that's, yes, now that's about 1.5 inches squares, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And I enjoyed every square that I put into this.
And it has a medallion in the middle and then the border that's quilted. Did you do that quilting?
Yes, I did.
That is beautiful. You have a feather going through like a garland, and then you have the tiny squares. Those things must be about a quarter of an inch square. That is beautiful. When did you make that one?
I made this one in 1962 and 63. I worked on it. This is one that Mrs. Hunt, the lady that lived across the road from me on Glen Lily, she had made one like this, and I thought it was so pretty. And she shared some of her pieces. That makes this one more special because some of these in here were her pieces. And then when I filled out the corners, we used to have a dry goods store in Bowling Green that carried all of these pretty dark prints. And you know, you have a time finding those anymore. But and when I made this one, I was quilting it, and David was toddling around. He said, "Mommy, this is mine." So naturally, this is
David's quilt. All right. Then what year would that have been that you made that?
1962 and 1963.
Oh, that's right. You told me.
Uh huh.
Tell me something. What do you think makes a good quilt?
A pattern that is pretty.
Define pretty.
Well, I think it's pleasing to the eye, that fits well. And then I think your colors, the coordination of the colors, and just the best work you can do. I think that's what makes a pretty quilt. I've never seen one that wasn't pretty. I've seen some I thought were prettier than others, but I really never saw a quilt that I did not.
What about the workmanship in the quilt? Do you think, does that enter into your evaluation of a good quilt?
Yes, if the patterns fit.
Then good piecing.
Yes, good piecing.
Exact piecing.
Uh-huh. And then the quilting, of course. I have seen quilting that was, maybe the stitches weren't as short as some others, but they were even and smooth, and it makes a beautiful quilt.
Why you make quilts?
I make quilts because I love to. I never get tired. I don't think I've ever got tired of doing one. Even my cathedral window that took so long, I really never got tired of.
And has this been the same reason you've made them all along?
Yes, I love to make them, and I'm sorry that I haven't made more. I think sometimes when my husband was in Louisville finishing out his retirement, of course I had the family here, and I had the responsibility of, the stock and everything. I had to see that they were taken care of. But I thought, well, why didn't I finish one quilt, at least one a year, while he was gone?
You didn't think of it.
No, I didn't think of it, really. And then I took music lessons. That was another thing I did
while
he was gone.
Tell me about that.
I took piano lessons. I'd always wanted to play. And I thought, well, now that's something that I can do while he's gone that will keep me busy. And it'll be something that perhaps I can do something with. I never accomplished what I wanted to.
Do you play?
Not well.
But you can sit down and please yourself.
Entertain myself for a while. Yes.
Well, that's marvelous.
And my brothers had a little string band when we were growing up, and I used to like to do that, and I think I would have done better had I taken a string instrument instead of the piano. But anyway, that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I tried.
Tell me about their band.
They played, my uncle, my mother's brother, could play the guitar and the mandolin, the violin. And there was a friend that lived in Rockville at that time that was good on the violin or fiddle. They mm-hmm. played country music. And my brother played the mandolin, my oldest brother. My next oldest brother was played the guitar. And my uncle played the tenor guitar, and the friend played the fiddle. And they just had a lot of fun. And they would come to our house, you know, and practice. And this friend worked at night sometimes, and he would come by, maybe late. And I'd wake up and hear them playing. But, you know, it wasn't anything distasteful. It was always something that was good.
Oh, yes, enjoyable.
Uh-huh.
And did they play for country dances? Or?
They played, I don't remember just exactly what they played for, but they enjoyed it. They enjoyed being together playing.
So you always had this latent desire to be a musician too.
Something, uh-huh.
Well, it isn't too late to take up the guitar.
I
that might be easier.
That might be for me.
What do you find more satisfying, piecing or quilting?
I love to quilt, I believe. However, you gotta have a piece before you quilt. So my next one, I'm not sure. A friend of mine and I have, there is a variation of the grandmother's flower garden. It's a basket in the center, and we have that on file, that pattern that we have been debating on starting. I do want to do another wedding ring.
Had you thought about, since quilting is your love, doing a whole cloth quilt and letting the quilting be the design?
Yes, uh-huh. I have that in my mind to do. And I'm not sure of the pattern yet. I wanted to do one for my oldest son, and when he was in the Navy, I asked him to pick out a pattern, and I told him I would make a quilt for him while he was gone. And he said, oh, be original. He didn't want to pick out a pattern, you know. He said, just be original. So I had thought that he had a bird dog that he liked, and I had wanted to do in the center of an all-white quilt or some color, but let it be all quilting. I wanted to put the bird dog in the middle, but I hadn't decided what I'd put in the corners.
Birds.
Birds, a quail, or the pheasants.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime I'm going to do that.
Are you familiar with the trapunto quilting, the stuff work?
Yes, uh-huh. I haven't tried any of that yet.
That might be a thing to incorporate in a whole cloth quilt.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so quilting then is your favorite thing. Have you ever quilted with a group or gone to a quilting bee?
Yes, now our local bluegrass quilt toppers have a quilt in, and I have gone and quilted on that. With
then you're a member of a local quilting club.
Yes, I am. Uh-huh.
The bluegrass quilt toppers out of Bowling Green.
That's right.
Okay, well tell me about your experiences with that. What do you do? Does everybody join in?
Yes, everybody joins in. They bring something. They bring their problems if they have any questions, and there's always someone there. that can help them with it, that had been through the same experience or that knows what to tell them to do. And then we talk about the different battings, you know, that if there's anything new on the market or new needles. We recently got some number 12 needles I never used before.
Did you get some of those?
I got some of those and I tried them.
And?
It took some getting used to for me because they were so tiny, but after you get used to them, they're fine.
You can make it smaller stitch.
That's right.
Is it difficult to getting through the sandwich, the several layers?
No, it wasn't really on the one that I was working on.
Then they just spend the day working on
We meet the first Tuesday night each month at the library in Bowling Green. And we meet from 7 to 9. And we have show and tell. People bring their projects and show us what they've done. They bring books or magazines and we can see new things. And it's just a delightful time to spend with other people. And then we had our quilting bee, remember, in February.
And not much work got done on that quilt.
No, but we got to see all those other projects that people, the quilts that people brought, I thought was very interesting.
As a general rule, when you meet, do you work on a common project or do you work on your own projects or is it more of a sharing experience?
It's a sharing or working on your own projects. And then we have the quilt in the home of one of the members and we go on Mondays and when you can, you go and quilt.
And what is this quilt for?
We're going to sell tickets on it and use the money for the group.
Mm-hmm. For projects they're working on?
For buying more materials and whatever we need.
And then do you donate quilts or do you have any other purpose for your quilts?
We haven't yet, but we probably will.
Then you do it as a fundraising thing.
That's right.
Have you ever heard the term Kentucky quilt?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What is it?
I'm not sure.
How have you heard it?
I was thinking of the book that someone had put together on Kentucky quilts.
And you haven't heard it applied to any specific kind of quilt? It's when someone said they wanted a Kentucky quilt. What would they
I would
want?
Think it would be a pieced quilt. It would be pieced and quilted by someone in Kentucky.
Okay. Have you ever taught anybody else to quilt?
Not really. I had last year, or just about 2 years ago, I guess, I bought a printed sheet, and then I got one for the backing, to teach my niece from California. She comes every summer and spends some time with us. And then I had a little neighbor that wanted to learn to quilt. So I got this together and I thought, well, they can practice on this all they want to. So Donna, my niece, tried it one time. She didn't like it.
How old is she?
She's 17.
Mm-hmm.
And then my neighbor came, though, several times, and she really tried. She just tried, and her fingers would get sore. So after Donna went home and my neighbor moved, I finished that, quilted. It was a wedding ring design. And then my neighbor came back to see something about their home. They were selling their home. And I gave it to her. And she said that was her first quilt that she'd ever had, and it just made me feel so good.
Yeah.
That I said, well, so your first quilting is on that, so you can look at it and know that you...
Mm-hmm. Now, was this a top printed, or had you pieced it?
No, it was a printed
a
top.
A printed.
Uh-huh. And she was real proud of it, though, because she'd never had a quilt of any kind.
Oh. Do you know, have you ever known any men that quilted?
I have seen one from Scottsville that had one over to Kentucky building that he had pieced and quilted.
Did it look any different than anything a woman would do?
No, I don't think so.
Was there anything significant about it other than it had been done by a man?
I think it was a particular pattern. You may be familiar with it. Have you ever seen...
Are we talking about Paul Dalton?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I've seen his work.
His work.
Which one did he have on display with him?
It seems to me like it was a... It depicted different things.
In his life?
In his life.
Yes, I know which quilt you mean. It was an original pattern, and then he did all the work on it. And the embroidery on that was so fine that there were times when it was entered in contests that people rejected the idea that he did it by hand.
Oh.
They thought some of that embroidery had to be done by machine. Mm-hmm. But it truly was an original design, and he embroidered every one of those squares, creating his own stitches. Mm-hmm. Did everything himself. And it is a gorgeous book.
It sure is.
Do you know, is that the only person on
that? That's the only man, except the man in Nashville that has the shop, was called Once Upon a Quilt.
Uh-huh.
And he does a lot of, I think, planning, designing.
He teaches,
and teaches. Uh-huh. Now, I have seen some of his work.
Yes, I have, too. I have been down to his shop. Have you seen his shop?
Yes, I have.
I don't remember his name. Do you?
No, I don't.
But he still has a shop. It's on Bellevue, I think.
That's where it was.
Mm-hmm. Has he moved it, you know?
It seems to me like I saw some ladies from there at Christmas Village. Mm-hmm. And I believe they gave us their address. It was at a different place.
Okay. What do you... have you ever quilted for anybody else?
No, I've never done quilting.
What do you do with your finished quilts?
I have given some to my children. I sold the one quilt, which I always regretted. But I did quilt one for my mother, the one her hands had gotten to where she couldn't quilt. And she had pieced one for Mary Dawn and one for David. And she had quilted Mary Dawn's, but I quilted David's for her. And I got it done for her before she passed away.
That must have been a comfort to her.
Yeah.
What do you do with your quilts when they start wearing out?
If the binding, I try to repair it. And I keep some older material that I know that you can wash it and do things to make it so it will blend with your quilt better. But I have some dresses that were my mother-in-law's and some of my mother's that I'm going to keep for that particular purpose.
To repair older quilts so that the fabric will be just...
be alike, or as near alike.
Tell me about the quilt you sold.
It was a wedding ring and made out of all different colors. And I put it together with domestic and had the backing of the same kind of backing on it. And I had quilted it as well as I could. And the lady found out I had it and she came by here, but she was going to look at some other quilts. And I knew the lady that she was going to look at quilts. And after she left, I wished it. Oh, I just hope she didn't come back. I hope the other lady had one that she wanted.
Oh.
but she didn't. She came back, and of course, I had made her a price on the quilt.
And what was that price?
$100.
And how long ago was this?
That's been about 4 or 5 years ago.
She got a very good buy.
Yes, she did. And really, I've always thought I was foolish to sell it, really, but
for that money. Would you sell any more?
I don't believe so. Unless if I definitely made one to do that, In other words, if I started the quilt and said, when I finish this, I'm going to sell it.
Or if somebody asked you to do one for a price.
That's right, I would. But to just take one that I've done, you know, because I love to do it, I don't think I'd sell it anymore.
It's like selling a member of your family.
<That's right.
laughs> Oh, have you ever entered a quilt in shows and fairs or
only
contests?
Only at the fair, at the Brown and Fire Department. They had that little fair. They used to have a fair in the summertime, and they had the handwork, and they wanted you to bring them. And I took some of mine there. And they were judged, but I've never entered one in the fair at Bowling Green or the State Fair.
Did you win any prizes?
We got ribbons on them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
tell me about what you won.
One of them I got a blue ribbon on, and I think one of my cross stitch I got a red ribbon.
That was first and
second place. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, when we get to documenting your quilts, we'll put those things down. Now what were the names of the quilts? You said one was cross stitch, and what was the other one?
The other one was David's, the one I gave to David. That's I guess the Boston Commons is the nearest.
Mm-hmm.
The nearest to that. And then the the red. I have two cross stitch quilts, and I believe.
Were those kits, or were they?
Yes, they were kits. And I do not like the objections I have to that is the way they stamp for you to quilt. It bothers me with those little dots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they had made it a continuous line, I think it would be so much easier for me to quilt. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anyone else complain about it, but to me it's kind of frustrating.
You haven't entered any of the Kentucky Heritage contests?
No.
You should. Your work is beautiful. Do you think there's been any change in people's attitudes about quilting from when you used to quilt, your family quilted as a girl, and now?
Yes, I do. I think there's people appreciate it more now. At one time, of course, they did quilts because they needed them for covers. And then there's always been those who did the fancy quilts just because they wanted to or to enter into contests. But I think overall there's a greater appreciation for the work that goes into quilting than there was at one time.
Why do you think there's been this change?
It's like any other handwork or something that it has been revived. I think it's I think people are just beginning to, young people that never did do it, they have become aware of how much work that's gone into it, and they appreciate it.
Then you feel there has been a period in between there
they didn't care. They weren't as popular, certainly, as they are now.
They're more interested in, you feel, then, keeping the quilting craft alive.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's going great right now.
What do you see as the value of quilting? We're not talking about money now. We're talking about what is valuable to you or other people. What is the value of it?
To have something that someone has done, put that much love and work in it, and the interest that they create in their work. And some of these that I have that have so many of the pieces that were a part of our life, and you look at it and you think, well, I remember that dress, or I know whose dress that was. I think that's what means the most to me.
It's the not only the historical, but it's like an album. It's a family
history.
That's
right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
now, you were telling me about the different kinds of frames in your history.
Uh-huh.
And now you use... Or
hook.
What have you always used? Did you always use a hook?
I have quilting on my mother's quilts here when they'd be in the frame.
Is that frame with the holes in it?
No. Now, this was another one. I think a friend of ours gave her a set of frames that she used.
Was it the horses?
Uh-huh, with the horses. And I had helped her. And I do remember when she had the swinging frames from the ceiling. And I have an aunt that uses those now. And it's kind of funny to me to sit down and quilt, but it's a good way to quilt, really.
The whole frame hangs from the ceiling, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. And, but my quilts that I have done myself, I've always used the hook.
Is this a freestand, a hook that's on a stand that you sit on?
Well, I have had that kind, but I don't use that kind now. I just use it to lay it on the lap. And I like it. It's an oval shape. And I like it because I can just put it aside and pick it up so easily. And I don't have to have it stationary in one place.
Take it where you want to. Uh-huh. You were telling me that you do applique quilts. And what you particularly like that? What do you like about applique?
I like applique because of the colors and the patterns that you can have in those. Now, the one I did had over 500 pieces, and it was in a kit. That was a little much for my first attempt.
Yes,
really.
It seems to me that the things you've described to me as your first attempts have all been rather ambitious.
But I saw it, I had the opportunity to get it, and I wanted to try it, and I did, and it turned out real well. It's not as, the workmanship is not what I hope to do.
Okay, talking about your applique and your next quilt, would you take a pattern out of one of your books, or do you think you'd make one up, or what?
I have seen one in the Farm Journal magazine that I would love to do. It was a dogwood pattern, and it was done on two colors. It was a blue and white on the blue, they had the white dogwood, and on the white they had the blue.
Was this in squares?
No, it was in kind of a panel, a square in the middle, and then a blue strip around about 6 or 8 inches wide, and it had the applique on that, the different colors on it. White on blue and blue on white. And I thought it was so pretty.
It doesn't sound like a beginner's project either.
No.
You like a challenge, don't you?
I see them and I like to do them. But I do need, I am looking forward to having some instructions on better ways to do applique.
Oh, what makes a good quilt stitch?
I will settle for 12 stitches per inch. I saw some on a quilt the other day that was 13, but I think 10 and 12, if they're evenly done, I think they're...
Done 10
yes.
to 12 an inch.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I expect you've seen a lot of changes in the materials over the years.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that.
The first quilt that I remember were made out of coarser materials. They, of course, we had no polyesters back then, no man-made fabrics. They were all cotton. But the colors, I think we could really take some lessons from them and have better materials as far as the colors are concerned. Calicoes were my first one. I can remember my step-grandmother had, they called it calico, and it was reds and greens, and I remember she did a log cabin quilt, and that was so pretty because of those colors that she had. And the materials, of course, were sold, oh, what, 2, 3, 5 cents a yard back then. It was very nominal thing. But then the next one I remember was just plain calico prints that were real good. And some that I have in one of my quilts that came from, used to be a store in Bowling Green, J.L. Durbin Company, that had the best material for quilts and anything you want. And then, I don't care for polyester knits. There was a time when people made those, and I have made 2 tops. I haven't finished those quilts, but I don't care for that. I really prefer the top.
In the polyester, what patterns did you make?
I made one that's a square. I don't really know. It was in a magazine or a newspaper, and you started in the middle with a color, and it came out in came down to the foot of the bed and up to the head of the bed with these same colors. And then on the sides it came out in a pattern that was really pretty. And I used burgundy and 2 shades of pink and white.
That sounds good. You seem to have a good eye for color from what I can see here.
And then I have done another one that my mother had cut this block, and we laughed at her about this because it was a bricklayer pattern, and she took a regular brick and cut her pattern that size. So we laughed at her. She
nothing
really
like going to the source.
I did that quilt, and I did it vice on the bed or diagonally, and I did a printed row and a plain row and a white row. And I went all, and I thought it made a real pretty top.
In kind of a bricklayer pattern.
Uh-huh, in a bricklayer.
Offset.
Uh-huh.
So now what pattern, what fabrics? You still stick to cottons or do you use cotton blends?
I like cotton blends, or cotton. Mm-hmm. Cotton blends, I guess, are my
Do you find them easier to handle?
Yes, and I think you can cut your pattern better. I think they're just better to work with all around.
You have done embroidery quilts too. You say you've done cross stitch.
Cross stitch. Uh-huh.
Any other embroidery stitches that you used?
not on any I've done. I have a top that my mother did, and it's the state birds, and she embroidered that. And but that again is not a completed quilt. I've got to quilt that.
But for yourself, the only embroidery you've done then has been cross-stitched in kits. Do you sign your quilts?
I have some of them and some of them I haven't. I'm sorry to say that I've been lax on that one.
How do you sign them? Do you quilt it in or
put a label? I embroider it in.
On the back or on the front?
On the front. Oh, down in the corner of Mary Dawn's, I know I put her name and the date and my name.
Mm-hmm. Who it was to and who made it and the date. So then most of the time when you do sign them, you embroider it on the front of the quilt, and you inscribe who the quilt is for,
the date,
and when you and your name and the date. Do you have a favorite quilt pattern?
Not really. I don't think I could say just one. But
have there been any that you've made more than one of?
No, I don't.
You haven't repeated a pattern.
I don't think so. I'm going to, just for the fact that I want another wedding ring, I want to do another one.
You don't make up your own designs?
Not really.
Either in quilting or in piecing?
Well, I have in quilting, yes, okay. I have. And I quilted one for my mother. She gave to my youngest brother, and it was a sunflower. And I had to make up all the quilting for that. And it's not easy for me to do. I think to choose the quilting pattern is hard for me. Mm-hmm. Because I look at them and I think, I've tried it. You know, decide which would be the very best, and sometimes that's hard for me to do.
Do you use templates then and trace
yes,
around?
Yes, uh-huh.
And where have you gotten your templates?
Well, some of them we draw from, I have done that, the little, figure eight kind of chain lock cable. I have done that one, but I do have a book with several in it that I can draw off.
And you make your own. How do you make a template? Or how do you draw them off?
I use tissue paper to take it from the book, and then I use carbon to put it on my cardboard. Is usually what I have some kind of paper that I make my patterns from. Mm-hmm. I've never used the plastic. Really.
And how do you get that on your quilt then? Put the quilt over the cardboard so you can see through it, or how?
No, I lay it on the quilt and draw around it.
Then you cut out the shape of the quilting pattern.
I have to cut out the shape of it.
Rather than some people take a piece of cardboard or paper and they cut out the lines and then draw that way like you do the plastic
yes,
one.
Yes,
But you just cut out your pattern and draw around it.
And draw around it.
And what are some that you use frequently?
Well, I don't have the quilts. I do have one here that I made up myself. I had to work out a pattern for this one. And I saw this one in a book or magazine. And I just adapted it to my quilt. And it's really not a, I don't know what you call this one.
No, it's a series of
little ovals and squares.
Ovals and, you know, and set like diamonds.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I had to do that. I had such a wide border on this one that I had to do one in the middle.
Okay, then you have designed your own quilting patterns.
I did that one. Yes, I did.
Okay. You don't have a favorite. Do you have a favorite color?
I like red in a quilt. I think
why?
Red. I just think it's so pretty. It stands out, and it.
Every quilt I can see from where I'm sitting has red in it.
Has some red in it. I guess.
There is I've heard some people say that there should always be red in a quilt. Have you ever heard that?
No, but I believe I agree with them. I think.
Red you just like because it's bright and cheerful?
Uh-huh. I really do.
What other things could I haven't touched on yet can you think about in terms of your quilting?
I can't think of any other right now. I am looking at my cathedral window. The only thing I don't like about that are those corners. I never did get them like I really wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I may make another one sometime.
I perceive a little bit of perfectionism here.
Well, I know how I want it to look. I know how it should look. And I do strive for that, and I'm not satisfied when it doesn't look. But I've looked at a lot of cathedral windows, and I have the same opinion of all the corners. I just, somehow they...
That's the way they look, whether you like it or not.
Look.
Then, you're looking forward then to making more quilts?
Yes, I am. I would love to do the all white on white.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to do the wedding ring, as I said before, and then I want to do an applique.
And I gather from our talking together that you have a stash of quilt tops that are waiting to be quilted.
Yes, I do. I have some, particularly the one that my mother embroidered. Now, she had broken her hip, and while she was recuperating, she embroidered all those squares. And I asked her not long before she might have already been sick. I said, Mom, who gets this quilt? I wanted her to say who got it. And she said, well, I haven't given Curtis Brandt one. So, and I was teasing her. I said, he doesn't like birds. And she and then I told him what I said, and he said, but I'd like those birds. Because his grandmama did it. And I do plan to quilt that one. And then I have one that she pieced for my youngest brother that I'm going to quilt for.
So when you start a quilt, do you go ahead and quilt it, or do you piece tops and put them aside?
I have done both ways. And I like my applique quilt. I did it a couple of years ago, and then my mother was sick. And I just put it back, and then after she passed away, and I got it out and finished it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have that tendency to leave the top sometimes and not go ahead and finish it. But I have, now on some of them, like this one I did for my granddaughter, that was a project that I got right into, and I appliqued that one on the machine. But it was one that we wanted to finish by the time she graduated from kindergarten. And they used that on the stage as a backdrop for her graduation, which I was real proud to see.
Well, I guess so. If you have a deadline or a purpose in mind, you go to it. And if you're quilting just for your own pleasure, you're likely to put one top side and aside and start another one.
Or I'll be quilting on one and I decide to make some pillows or do something like that, then I can lay it aside.
Ever have more than one quilting project and going at the same time?
I don't believe I ever have.
But you would have several piecing projects going.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
Certainly appreciate your sharing this time with me and your talking with me.
Well, I have enjoyed it because it's one of my favorite things to do is piece and quilts and quilting.
Before we stop, let's talk a little bit about the equipment that you use. Now, you've started using the number 12 needles now, have you?
Yes, uh-huh.
And do you feel like the smaller the needle then, the better the quilting?
I believe so. And then I have a quilting thimble that we ordered from, I think it was Quilter's Newsletter. Some of the ladies in our group were ordering them, and I ordered me one. And it is definitely a good thing to have.
Oh, how is it different from
It's a longer thimble, and it has a recessed end, and it just, your needle never slips off, and never, and I don't think it'll wear out, you know. These others that you buy at the fabric stores and the dime stores, it won't be long until you'll have a hole worn through them. And this one I don't believe will do that. And it's just a comfortable needle, thimble to wear.
Do you protect your finger under the quill?
No, I just pick
that one you pick till it bleeds.
Yeah, I do.
There are some leather thimbles that...
I can't seem to... I don't feel like I'm doing...
You don't feel in touch with your
That's
quilt.
That's right. Mm-hmm. If I don't stick my finger, I get... I have quilted a quilt that I didn't do that so much, but most of them I really do stick my fingers.
Me too. Then we've gone over frames, we've gone over fabrics, we've gone over now needles. How about thread? Do you use the coated quilting thread?
Yes, most of the time I use that.
And you stay with the light colors, or do you try to... Do you change colors of your thread?
I never have, but on one of those polyester quilts that I'm on, I wanted to find, and that's the reason I haven't quilted it, because I haven't found the backing. I need a paisley printed material, because I have the burgundy and the two shades of pink and the white, and I would like to quilt that with those colors, mm-hmm. but I want a backing where it won't be that pronounced.
Okay, that will absorb the color.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it would
do
be
you
good.
Usually put a print on the back of your quilts?
Not usually. I like the solid colors. I have
domestic.
I have done that, and in fact, I'll tell this. My mother had a quilt that she was doing for Mary Dawn. It's a bow tie, and the bows are made from the Derby underwear stripes, and she wanted me to pick her up a backing for that quilt, and she said get a little print. But I didn't find out which quilt she wanted it for. I wasn't that definite, you know. And I know my aunt that passed away in January. She went with me, and we picked out what we thought would make a pretty backing for a quilt, but it wasn't suitable for the one that she wanted to put it on, and she went on and used it. I think to keep from, maybe she thought it would hurt our feelings if she didn't use the one. But I've always been sorry that I didn't
get more information.
Yeah, and or at least stop her and go back and get something else, because it wasn't suitable for that particular quilt.
And is that the bow tie you have here?
Yeah, this one down here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, I think we'll close the interview, and then we'll go to documentation. We're going to take a little longer with that process because you're interested in learning to document. Is that true?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we'll walk you through your supply of quilts to give you a feel for what it's going to be like, and what we look for. We hope to get a workshop on that going. A number of ladies are interested in documenting quilts for the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society, which is an extension of our interview project. And I thank you again, and I appreciate the privilege of talking with you.
You're welcome.